supported Christian radio station, WCNO 89.9 FM, Palm City. My word
is a lamp. Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the book of Matthew, the gospel writings of Matthew, and we stopped at verse 25 last time. We are looking on the woes to the religious leaders in Matthew 23, that's where we are. And last week we stopped at verse 25, so we are going to be continuing from there. We see the Lord pronounced woes upon the religious leaders. He pronounced 8 woes on them. And woes are great sorrow or distress or calamity or destruction that will come to those who refuse to accept the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Woes to them because they are just practicing religion and not having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So we see Matthew, a Jew, was writing to a Jewish audience, and we also now can benefit from these words that were written by the Jewish disciple. So we are going to be going to verse 25 of Matthew 23, but before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We honor you for who you are. We thank you that you are God. You reign supreme. Oh God, we thank you for this privilege one more time to be in your presence. Oh God, to share your word, oh God, among your people. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, you'll continue to illuminate your word to us. Holy Spirit of God, we pray, oh God, Almighty Lord, that you will teach us, oh God, all things that we need to know so that we can live this Christian life, mighty God. Father God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you'll help us to be attentive to your word. Help us not just to be hearers of your word, oh God, but doers of your word. We pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that we will walk, oh God, Almighty Lord, in the truth of your word, walking in the spirit, not fulfilling the desires of our flesh. Lord, we thank you for those that are listening this evening. Oh God, we thank you, oh God, for those that are saved, that they will grow in grace and knowledge of you, oh God. And we pray, oh God, for those that are not yet saved, that they will put their faith in you, Jesus. They will come to know you as Lord and Savior. Thank you, oh God, for who you are. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for what you're doing in this season. And we look to you by faith, oh God. And we continue, oh God, Almighty Lord Jesus, to call upon you, oh God, for you are always faithful and true. And we look to you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. So we continue in Matthew 23. We're using the New King James Version of the Bible. Matthew 23. And we go. And we continue in verse 25. The word said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." So we see Jesus kept pronouncing calamities upon these religious leaders who were more concerned about their external appearance and not the state of their heart. And we read last week in Mark 7:14-23, Jesus tells us that is what comes from the inside of the man defiles him. And we have to understand many times we pay so much attention on the outward man, but it is what comes from the inside, from the heart of men, that truly defile him. So let us not be like the scribes and Pharisees. Let us come to understand that it's the cleansing of our hearts that we need. Our outside might be looking good, but inside, we want to also be looking good on the inside. We want our heart to be pure and clean before God. So look at verse 26 of Matthew 23, New King James Version. The Bible says, "Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." First clean the inside of the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. So we see our hearts must first be cleansed so it can reflect on the outside. People of God, we have to understand this truth. Our hearts must first be cleansed so that we can it can reflect on the outside. Our actions will tell the state of our hearts. Our actions will tell the state of our hearts. So we have to understand these words, people of God, and understand what Jesus was saying. Those religious people were just practicing religion. They were just practicing Judaism, but they were not in fellowship with the God of the universe. They were not in fellowship with God. So Jesus, who knows everything, who knows the heart, was pronouncing woes upon them, pronouncing calamity upon those who refuse to walk in fellowship with God, but are so entangled in religion. Look on verse 27 of Matthew 23. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." So what was Jesus saying? The religious leaders were looking good on the outside. People see them as righteous people of God. We have to understand this. People would revere them, see them as righteous people. But Jesus, who sees everything and knows the hearts of men, see their corrupt hearts and expose them. Jesus said, "You are full of dead men's bone. You are corrupt. You are unclean. Your hearts are not right." So people of God, we have to come to that place where we ask the Holy Spirit to change our hearts so that it will reflect on the outside that we are changed from the inside. What happened, people of God? Many times we are trying to patch up on the outside to look good on the outside, but our hearts are not right. We have something against our brothers. We have unforgiveness in our hearts. We have malice in our hearts, strife and contention and division. People of God, we have to understand that our hearts must be pure. We must walk in godliness and truth. We must love one another like God has called us to love one another. Our hearts have to be right before God. He will not accept what we are bringing to him unless our hearts are right. So these religious people thought they were doing so well, but Jesus exposed them, and they hated Jesus for that. People of God, when we expose people with the truth of God's word, they will hate us, but they hated Jesus. So let us not, people of God, be alarmed, and let us not refrain from declaring God's truth. But let us become people who walk in truth and holiness. So we see we have to be changed from the inside, people of God, so that the outside will also reflect the change. So we see in 1 Samuel, we're going to refer to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The word of God says, so we see where the Lord was sending Samuel to anoint David, Jesse's son. But when Samuel came to Jesse's house, we see where Jesse brought out all those other sons who were looking good. But the Lord said to Samuel, look on 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So we see, people of God, Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man who was here, he walked here on earth. He sees the heart. So he saw the hearts of the Pharisees, of those religious people, and he called them hypocrites. They were two-faced. Inside, they were corrupt. Outside, they were behaving like they were so good. But inside, they were corrupt. They were like whitewashed tomb. And when we think of a whitewashed tomb, it looks good on the outside. But what is inside that tomb? Dead men, bones, rottenness, corruption is inside that tomb. So Jesus was saying that they were like that whitewashed tomb, looking good on the outside, but inside were full of dead men's bone, uncleanness, wicked hearts. People of God, Jesus sees the heart. So we have to know and understand that we can't pretend. We can't go around pretending. We have to be true. For he sees the heart. The word of God tells us that we stand naked before him. He knows us, people of God. He knows our intention. He knows when we are faking it. He knows when we are real. He knows everything. So let us just come clean. Let us just be real before him. We are going to also refer to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10. Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10. The word of God says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah asked the question, who can know it? But the Lord said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So people of God, our actions must be in alignment with God's word. But sometimes we do some things, people of God, and it is contrary to the will of God. God says, I search the hearts. I know the hearts that are inclined towards me. He knows our hearts, people of God. He examines us. He examines our motives behind what we are doing. He examines our intentions. So our motives have to be right. We have to come with the right motive, the right intention. People of God, we don't do things for people to see and to praise us. And that's how the Pharisees and the scribes and religious people, that's how they used to live. They would do things to get the praise of men, people of God. But God wouldn't accept what they were bringing to him because it was not from the heart. So God is calling us, people of God, to be people who knows our God and who knows what is acceptable in his sight, what is he has required of us. We must know what is his requirement for us. So we don't come with some other things to try to see if we can appease God. But we come with a clean and pure heart, putting our trust in Jesus Christ alone and relying upon him to see us through. So we have to come to know and understand what God requires of us. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be just. He wants us to show mercy. He wants us to show love. Be patient with one another. Be kind. He wants us to display the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us, people of God, to be surrendered to him so the Spirit of God can produce in us the fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of Christ Jesus, so we can look like him, sound like him, live like him, be compassionate like him. Our whole duty is to follow Jesus. We need to follow him, emulate Jesus. We need to copy him, pattern him, be like Jesus. That's all the Lord is asking of us. Jesus, people of God, is a perfect example. So if we follow him, we can't go wrong. Let us follow Jesus and walk in humility, walk in truth and holiness. Walk as a child of light. Look at verse 28 of Matthew 23. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Jesus was there and rebuking the religious people. You appear righteous on the outside to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy. You are two-faced. You are hypocritical. You're not true. And lawlessness, wickedness is inside you. So let us be more concerned about how we appear to God, people of God. Many times we want to appear so good before men. But let us be more concerned about how we appear to God. Let us ask the Lord to remove all hypocrisy and lawlessness from us and help us to submit to his word, walking in obedience to his will. People of God, we have to understand the Lord sees everything. We can't hide from him. So we have to ask him, we have to confess that we are not right, we are not good. Confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Lord is calling us away from hypocrisy. Many of us have been hypocritical, two-faced. One way this day and tomorrow another way. We want to be people who are always walking in consistency with the word of God. We want to be people who will be transparent and say, Lord, I'm not right. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be some wicked ways in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. People of God, we have to come to that place where we become transparent and honest before God and ask him to cleanse us and remove every hypocrisy from us. Everything that is not right, remove it. Every wicked ways, every evil ways in us, remove it, Jesus. And help us to submit to your word, walking in obedience to your will. Look at verse 29 of Matthew 23. Jesus continued with his woe to the religious people. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous." You build the tombs of the prophets, so they make sure that the tombs of the prophets are taken care of, but they were not in agreement with the prophets. But when you look back on their four parents, they were not in alignment or not in agreement with the prophets of old. For the prophets, the true prophets who came with the word of God, people of God, they were persecuted. So Jesus was saying, you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. Look at verse 30 of Matthew 23. And say, if we have lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. So they are saying, if we have lived in those days of our foreparents, we wouldn't have been partakers, because many of the prophets were killed by their foreparents. So Jesus was saying, you are saying that, but you are just as guilty. So they were saying, we wouldn't be partakers of the blood of the prophets. Look at verse 31 of Matthew 23. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murder the prophets. So Jesus exposed the religious leaders, telling them that they are the sons of the murderers of the prophets. They are of the same mind like those who killed the prophets of old. So Jesus, who knows everything, people of God, was there rebuking the religious people and letting them understand that they are also guilty of the blood of the prophets. Look at verse 32 of Matthew 23. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. So Jesus was saying that you should be filled up. You should feel guilty also of what your fathers have done. You should also feel guilty. Look at verse 33 of Matthew 23. Serpents. Jesus called them serpents. Serpents, snakes, brood of vipers. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Jesus did not mince his words with these religious people. He called them serpents, snakes. They were subtle. They were evil. People of God, they were crafty, cunning. A brood of vipers, a group of snakes, evil. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? How can you escape? Because what you are practicing, vain religion will not take us anywhere, people of God. Vain religion will cause us to be so estranged from God. But God is calling his people into a relationship. Jesus said, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? You are practicing some things that you call righteousness. But people of God, we have to understand that our own righteousness is like filthy rags before God. The only righteousness God accepts is the righteousness that we place, because we have placed our trust in Jesus Christ and his righteousness is placed on us. That's the only righteousness that God the Father accepts. So we have to understand, the people of God, we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And only in him can we be righteous. So we come in of our own self, trying in our own effort to be righteous, will not take us anywhere. But we have to understand that we have to put our trust in the righteous Son. So when we come to understand that Jesus Christ is our righteousness and he clothes us in his righteousness, then we put our faith in him. We want to be people who are truly in a relationship with God. But Jesus himself rebuked the religious people. Religion will not take us there. He said, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? So we want to be people who are walking in truth and holiness. Walking, people of God, knowing that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, justified by his blood that was shed on the cross for us, justified, declared righteous, because we have put our faith in the righteous Son. People of God, we have to come to understand. We don't want to be religious people. We want to be people who are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Look on verse 34 of Matthew 23. Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. So we see the prophets and wise men that Jesus will send will be killed and crucified by the religious leaders. They will be beaten and persecuted and had to be running from city to city because of persecution. And we saw that, people of God, even when we read the book of Acts, the church was under great persecution. They had to be running all over the region, running for their lives, people of God. Many were crucified, even Jesus' disciples that he left here. Many were crucified. Many were killed in different ways, people of God, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, people of God, we have to understand when we come to Christ, we have to count the cost. But many will lose their lives because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People will hate us because we proclaim Jesus. So we have to understand, people of God, Jesus already foretold what would happen, and it truly has happened. Look on verse 35 of Matthew 23. The word said that, and you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. So we see, people of God, that Jesus was speaking to these religious people, reminding them of how they had killed the prophets that were before. And we can see, people of God, that many, even though they were not there taking part in it, their foreparents were doing it. And because of that, they were also guilty. So we see, people of God, in 2 Chronicles 24, 2 Chronicles 24, 20 to 22, we see where the prophet Zechariah was killed. So we see the word of God tells us in 2 Chronicles 24, 20 to 22, then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, thus says God, why do you transgress and the commandment of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you. So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Look on verse 22. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, the Lord look on it and repay. So we see how the prophet Zechariah had died. He was stoned right there in the court of the house of the Lord. So we see, as Jesus spoke of what took place in the past, that these religious people were the ones who killed the prophets of God. So people of God, people who are against Christ, they are antichrist, they will not love us. We have to understand that the spirit of antichrist has gone out into the world, and many will not love us because we stand for Christ. So they will kill us, maybe not physically, but with their tongue. They will murder us with their tongue, people of God. They will speak against us, and they will try all sort of things to come against us. But we as God's people must be secure in who we are in Christ. We must walk as children of light, secure in Jesus Christ, for he is our security. So we must know who we are and remember what has taken place in the past. If we as children of God stand up for what is truth, for what is right, we will be persecuted. So let us not be alarmed. Let us not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try us, as Peter said. But let us come to that place and understand that as children of God, we will be persecuted. Just as how they persecuted the prophets of old and they killed many of them, so we also as God's people will be persecuted in so many ways. Jesus said, in me you will have peace, but in this world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So we as God's people have to remember the word of God. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to remind us of God's word, that we will continue to stand in these evil days and having done all to stand. So we see in Matthew 23, verse 36, the word of God said, "Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. So we see, people of God, whatever Jesus says will come to pass. It will come to pass because his word is true. And whatever he said, it must come to pass. So we see, people of God, all those religious people, they are practicing religion, but they are not going anywhere with it, because it will only take them to that place of condemnation. It will only take them to hell because they do not have a relationship with the living Savior. So God is calling the church into a relationship. He's calling us to come to that place of truly living for him, walking in the Spirit, walking by faith and not by sight. Look at verse 37 of Matthew 23. The word of God said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." So we see, people of God, Jesus himself wept over Jerusalem. And if you look in Luke 19:41-44, it tells us that he truly wept over Jerusalem. So here it says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophet and stones those that sent to her, how often I want to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chick." So Jesus' desire was to gather the people of Israel, to gather the Jews under his wings, people of God, to gather the Jews and to show them that love that comes only from him. But they didn't want it. They didn't want it. So they refused. "You were not willing," he said. So when we look at Luke's version, Luke 19:41-44, the word said, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city," that is Jerusalem, "and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you especially in this, your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave you in one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." So Jesus was lamenting over Jerusalem. They did not know the time of their visitation. They did not know that Jesus was here, the Lord of their lives. So Jesus said in verse 38, "See, your house is left to you desolate, because Israel failed to receive the Messiah King as Lord over their house, over their lives. Their house is left empty, devoid of life, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life." People of God, we come to the last verse, verse 39. The word of God said, "For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And we see that in Revelation 1:7, it said, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." Praise the name of the Lord. We'll stop here for this week. Next week, we will go into chapter 24 of Matthew. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word to us. Thank you for transforming us by the renewing of our minds. We give you glory, honor, and praise as we look to you by faith, O God, and we give you thanks. Thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we thank you, O God, for everything in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Blessings to all.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8444. 8477. 561-667-8477.